Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is, the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uppaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze and color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, great man, greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. When he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And suddenly one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, My Lord, because of the vision my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. For how can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is any breath left in me. Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong, yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, Do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia, and when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against these except Michael, your prince. Also in the first year of Darius the Mede, I stood up to confirm and strengthen him. Many Christians today are unprepared for problems when life doesn't go the way we expect it to. Most have a false expectation about what life should be like. Daniel 10, the scripture that we're reading today, that we're looking at today, is written to help us understand that life is hard, but we are not alone. We will see that the conflicts and struggles we experience here on earth are the counterpart of a great spiritual conflict that is presently ongoing in the heavenly realm. Knowing of this will help us to be prepared by being clothed in our spiritual armor. I want us to look at this starting with verses 2 and 3, where it says that in those days I, Daniel. We see that Daniel was mourning, he was fasting and not bathing for 3 weeks. Why was this so? If you look at verse 1, it tells us it's the third year of King Cyrus. So why is this so important? If you would go back and at your own leisure, you read in the book of Ezra, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. It records how in Cyrus's first year as king, God had stirred him to send the captives back to rebuild his temple in Jerusalem. We know there were around 50,000 who volunteered and said, I will go back. Now, they did not go back empty-handed. If you read in that scripture, you see that where Cyrus said, you know, those who will help them, but not only that, he helped them, the kingdom helped them. They were loaded down with gold and silver, livestock, goods, precious things, freewill offerings from the other Jews who did not return. But not only that, the things that Nebuchadnezzar and the articles belonging to the temple that had been taken during the siege 70 years previous by Nebuchadnezzar, they were given to them to take back to the temple. In Ezra chapter 3, we see in the seventh month, they had built the altar and were now offering up burnt offerings. But continue reading down in Ezra chapter 3 and verse 8. It says, the second year, the second month, they start work on the temple. But this is what happens when they start to work. What happens is their neighbors, those who've been living in that area, they begin to trouble them. They cause trouble. They hire counselors to frustrate their purposes, to discourage them and to stop them from rebuilding the place of worship. This is what the enemy does. When we make that decision, when we say, yes, Lord, this is where I want to be, the place of worship with you. The enemy of your soul comes against you. The enemy of God comes against the people of God, against his church, being in a place of true worship in spirit and truth. Now we know why Daniel was mourning and fasting. This is why. Because, listen, Daniel is an old man, probably around 90 years old. He had lived in captivity since he was a young man, 15 to 17 years of age. And this book shows us a life that was sold out to God, despite the fact that his parents most likely were killed in front of his face. And he has lived to serve a pagan king and to help him prosper. He has lived a life of prayer and study of God's word. We know that he had the writings of Jeremiah, if nothing else, and what he was taught up until the time he was taken captive. The exiles that had returned and had given up, he was crying out to God on behalf of the ones who had returned to Jerusalem, because their excitement of the return and the rededication was fading, and the challenges of maintaining faithfulness in the midst of opposition was going by the wayside. Daniel was mourning for them, even at a great distance from them physically. He was with them in spirit. Can you remember early in your walk when obedience seemed easy? Every day was met with excitement to see how God would provide, what God would do that day, how God would speak that day. But now, because of problems on all sides, or one problem that just seems to get bigger and uglier, you feel dry and joyless in your service to God. 1 Corinthians 12:26, I'll read the first part of that scripture. It says, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. This scripture is recorded for us right here today in this very room. This scripture is recorded for us. Listen, if you are discouraged and give up, it affects all. It affects the church. You think not, but it affects the church. If you give up and you walk away, the body of Christ, then it affects the faith of those who you are in, whom you are living with in the church. Here at Faith Harvest, we are aware of the persecution of our family across this globe. Once a year, we put our focus and our morning service to hear what is happening. This year in November, we have Sarah Liu coming. She was in prison in communist China. She is coming to tell us about the plight of the church in China. You know, it is our obligation to know what is happening with our church family across the world. The scripture, 1 Corinthians 12:26, is more than words. We realize that we must stand with those who are suffering by praying. And this very mission trip that our church has sponsored right now, those three men that are in Cuba right now, they are part of this 1226. We have brothers and sisters who are suffering over there. They need to be encouraged. But not only that, there is living water within our body to be able to pour out to those who have been shut away, who've been cut off, but it is an opportunity for us to go to encourage them, to let them know that we're standing with them, to let them know that we're praying for them, and it's support for them. Hebrews 13:3 says, remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who mistreated you, since you yourselves are in the body also. Daniel chose to suffer with them in fasting, mourning, and praying. He set aside for 21 days, luxuries, joys, and pleasures. The battle that was going on then is still here today. A spiritual battle is taking place today as was then. And when our life is not only focused on ourselves, when our lives are focused only on ourselves, we lose sight. In verse 1, it tells us, in verses 4 through 6, we know the year, the month, and the day when Daniel, where Daniel was, why he was there, and after 21 days, he receives a vision, a heavenly vision, an angel. All through Scripture, angels appear and in different forms. At your leisure, as you are good students of the Word, and if you're not, this is an opportunity for you then to go back, to read, to compare. I would suggest to you that you go back and you read Ezekiel chapter 1, start at verse 5 and read through verse 24. Also read Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 24, 2 through 4, I'm sorry. And then also look at Ezekiel 10, verse 2. Read those and then compare the vision that Daniel is having with Ezekiel. And remember that Ezekiel is also in Babylon. He is there, but he is living with the prisoners. He is not living in the palace. We want to see here today, God is responding to Daniel and to Daniel's prayer. Daniel is praying because the people are discouraged and intimidated to the point of quitting, giving up. And we know that they do give up for quite a few years. God sends a messenger with a message from heaven, and he gave him, Daniel, understanding. Sometimes the messengers appear as a man, not so glorious or heavenly in appearance. But this message was so important that the messenger reflected the glory of God. God who sits on the throne, God who is in absolute control of all, God who knows all, the future. He knows the present and he knows the past. There is nothing that he does not know. In verses 7 through 9, we see Daniel in this time was not alone. This is my personal opinion, and this is what I always want to stress, is that when we're looking at Scripture, we read Scripture, and that is what stands. And there are some things that are not recorded as we read through, but it says that there were men with him. And I believe that it could have been Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Why? Because previous, when Daniel was taken captivity, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these three men were with him. They were with him in the palace. They had been with him. We've seen these four men in prayer meetings together. So I think that they had established a bond is something that we can see where they knew that each one had the faith to pray and to believe. And so when you do want to be in a prayer meeting, you want those that are like-minded, that you can agree, those who will come and stand by you and pray a matter through. And this is what I believe that the Scripture is about, that the men that were with him. Scripture tells us it was men that were with him. They fled in great terror, but Daniel saw. Now, did God burden Daniel's heart to begin this, and then he asked them to come alongside him? So it's not unusual that God would reveal it to the one that he's burdened with. God's holiness and glory revealed here in his messengers means that God is not like us. He is different, and he is separate from us. The angels aren't like us. They are created beings, and they are created different from us. They are glorious beings because they are constantly in the presence of God. They are supernatural. They are not confined to the earth. The earth was not made for the angels, but the earth was made for man. Daniel is alone with no strength and with his face to the ground. He needed a touch. We see that in verse 10 that the hand of the messenger touched him, and it put just the very touch of the messenger. It had him trembling throughout his body, but then he was able to stand. And this is what the presence of God is like, even in a mediated form with the angel. He is glorious, and even for Daniel, who had devoted his life to God, could not stand until he was touched. In our Christian culture, we have made an image of God as mild-mannered, mellow, Mr. Nice Guy, too nice to send anyone to hell. This God is too soft to judge anyone. That's the way Satan wants you to picture God. So obedience is not important. It's okay if you assimilate culture into the church. Life is hard. Go the easy way. Your small sacrifices matter not. The reality of God's blazing, glorious holiness is an important truth to remember in times of trial and persecution. That's our reality for eternity. A God like this is worth leaving all, enduring all. struggling on through difficult times, even worth giving up our lives. For if that is what is required, Jesus did it for us. God's purpose in this glorious vision was not to crush him, but to encourage him. Daniel's weakness is revealed to Daniel. Why? That he might not trust in himself, in his own ability. Listen, we are taught as children to be independent and to work hard and to be strong and to stand. But when it comes to our relationship with God, listen, the way that God works is through our weakness, that his strength may be revealed, that our trust is in him, not in our own ability, but the ability of God. God wants your availability. That's what he's looking for. If you notice that when you see someone who's called, God doesn't call the strongest person in the world. God doesn't call the smartest person in the world. God doesn't call the one who has the youth and has the influence. God puts them in palaces as slaves. God waits until they're 80 years old to call them. It's not those things that God is looking for. He's looking for those who will trust in him, who will come to him. Daniel needed encouragement because he was discouraged over the present situation of what was going on in Jerusalem and what was going on with the covenant people. Precious family of God, hear this. God is no respecter of persons. God wants you encouraged, that he is near and your prayers are not going unheard. Are you prepared and ready for God to answer us and our prayers as he did for Daniel? There would be an appearing. In verse 11, it says, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, he is told that he is loved. He is loved. That encouraged him greatly, I'm sure. He was told to stand and to understand. He was told, do not fear. Listen, he says, the very first day your prayers went up, it was heard. And so when you think that your prayers are hitting the ceiling, know that heaven is open to you, that God hears you. I have come because of your prayers. Daniel didn't just pray that day and then turn around and walk off and say, well, you know, my prayers were just hitting the ceiling. God didn't hear me. Listen, 1 Peter 3:12, the last part of it says, and his ears are open to their prayers. Psalm 34:15, the last part of that says, and his ears are open to their cry. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Listen, folks, this, what we are reading here is our reality also. What we're reading in Daniel, listen, it is not as the TV or the movies portray, when they portray all the demonic forces and the fallen angels, they portray them as being relatable to mankind. They are supernatural forces seeking out your destruction. No good for you, but your destruction. They're not here to help mankind. God has his angels that are ministering spirits that he sends to help man. They come from God's throne. It's not of their own doing, but they are sent to help us. Verse 13 tells us that the prince of Persia, the kings of Persia, it is not talking about an earthly king, an earthly prince. It is talking about the hordes over the heavenlies. Now, we live in an area that was settled by Mormons. But before the Mormons were here, we had the Native Americans. And in their worship, they worship the sun, the moon, the trees, the stars, the earth. And with the Mormons, they come with a false god. And then you had the Roman Catholics who've come. You have a huge Roman Catholic population here. And they worship a false Jesus. And so you have all of this false worship here. You have idol worship here. And so what happens is that over here, there is a strong man over this city where we live right now. And so sometimes you wonder why the struggle is so hard. That is why. But he tells him, he said, I was sent on the first day. It is now 21 days later. I was battling through the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and a host of wickedness. Our reality today was his reality to then. This was recorded for us. This cherub was alone until Michael, the archangel, came to help him. It was these forces that had influenced the people of the land to come against God's restoration work in Jerusalem. Reality check for us. There is a war going on today. We can either be a warrior, and a warrior in God's army is a prayer person, and that does include prayer meetings, even though you think it may not. Or we can be a prisoner of war, giving up or doing our own thing. As I have said, for those who are good students of the Word, those who aren't sure about what I'm saying, go back to the book of Acts. Start at Acts chapter 1, verse 14, the first prayer meeting where they were in unity. And then go through the book of Acts. Look at how many prayer meetings are held. Look at what comes out of those prayer meetings. And then look at those who came together and prayed for the purposes of God's work in the earth today. Listen, there were healings, there were chains that were broken, there were prison doors open. They prayed for boldness and courage, and the rooms were shaken. They prayed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And over again, we see that prayer was answered. God loves prayer meetings. Do you love what God loves? Listen, if you are feeling condemnation, that is not my intent. If you are offended, that is not my intent. If you think I'm twisting the Word of God, show me. Let me tell you something. I am not so arrogant to think that I have the market cornered on the Word of God. I will humble myself before the congregation and before everyone and say I was wrong. But you show me. If you think you're being forced, that's not my intent. It is not my desire to try to beat you up with God's Word that you would attend a prayer meeting. Listen, it has been reported that I have heard throughout the Christian church that prayer meetings are a thing of the past. The thing that is important is that you have meetings for teenagers. You have get-togethers. You have cookouts. You have you get together and you watch all different sports together and have popcorn. You do those things at your church. You have fellowship for the young adults, for the singles, for the divorced. You have times where they can just get together and mingle and talk. But prayer is not the focus of the church today. But prayer is the focus of the early church. Prayer is the focus all the way through Scripture. I am not trying to force you. I am trying to instruct you. I will only say we are able to do what we want to. Think about that. When it is important to us, it becomes a priority and we make clear our calendar. Someone told me once when they hear that they should do, they just do the opposite because they do not want to be told what to do. And this was a person who was in leadership. Think on that. Chew on that. Only you know where your heart is, you and God. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not at prayer meeting or in prayer because I'm a legalist or because you expect it from me. It has been my practice for over 30 years. It is what I believe. Truth is truth, and when I realize that prayer is where I meet with God, when I'm alone, and when I'm in a prayer meeting with other brothers and sisters, then I'd rather be there than anywhere else. This messenger was sent from the throne of God to speak to God's servant. Listen, we cannot give up if the answer does not come right away. We see there was a delay, but it was only a delay in Daniel's prayer. Maybe there is a delay in your prayer today. Maybe there is a delay in the prayer that this church has been putting before God for revival. But we need to continue to press in. We don't give up. Satan cannot overthrow God's purpose. In verse 14, now, He says, I'm giving you understanding of the future of your people, because it is far off and yet to come, the future. Daniel, what is happening in Jerusalem is because of a battle in the heavenlies, but more is to come. He says, fear not. Listen, Daniel was praying. God doesn't always answer the prayer the way we expect it. And when Daniel was praying about what was happening in Jerusalem, he wanted God to tell him how he was going to go in and fix this and how he was going to make it possible. But what God did was he sent him a vision of the future. He showed him the war that was taking place right then. But that war was affecting what was happening in Jerusalem. But it was also going to affect the nation of Israel. When he tells him that I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come, then he's talking about a principality over the air. This prince of Greece would not come for 200 years. And so, listen, what God would ask you today is, how far can you see? Better yet, how much understanding do you have of the things that are happening in the earth today, with the people of God today, with those who have given their lives to the Lord, the church worldwide, the church here, right here where we are? In verses 15 through 19, Daniel was speechless. He needed another touch to be able to even speak. This was sobering. The opposition and the enmity they were facing was not just human, but powerful spiritual beings in the heavenly realm. The reason was satanic, what was happening in Jerusalem and what was going to come. Now, how does this apply to us? Begin to think with a renewed mind about the world events and Christians doing the work of God, and put our church in this. Let's put ourselves in this. In Amos chapter 3, it says, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. Listen, fallen angels are not resting but influencing presidents, prime ministers, dictators, and lower government officials, down to local lawmakers. Daniel is not praying or mourning about his lifetime spent as a slave in a pagan country, being thrown in a lion's den. No, but for his people and for God's work. Who are we? And what are we here for? And when I say that, I'm not talking about us as individuals. I'm talking about us as the church. And as the church right here, our church, there is a purpose for us. Listen, God has the church worldwide, but God will deal with us. God has a purpose for us. We have a purpose in the earth today. Maybe you've grown, your sight has grown dim in that, but you need to have renewed vision. And renewed vision will cause you to pray for what God has put on Pastor Mark's heart, that we would pray for revival. I don't know what the world outside of here deems revival, but revival means that dry bones come to life again, that there is life in those bones, that there is breath where there had been no breath. And that is what the church, this church, needs to be able to stand in the days that are coming. Listen, satanic armies are opposed to the church, and they most certainly are opposed to revival. They do not want you to have life in you. They do not want your church to have life. They don't want you to have breath. They don't want you to have the breath of God within you. They are opposed to our influence in the world, and these armies are sent against us to discourage us, to threaten us, to frighten us, to turn our focus from what God has called us to do, to lie to you about God, and to bring you to a place of complacency, to entice you away. The church of God is not abandoned. This is what his scripture is showing us. The church is not destroyed because of God. When we are weak, he sends strength, and we are not alone. This shows us that 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Now listen to what Paul recorded. Now, all these things happen to them as examples. To whom? To Daniel, right here, what you're reading today. And they were written for our instruction. This is instruction for you today, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. That's all it is. It is instruction of what we should do, how we should handle the discouragement and the reports that we hear of what's going on. And for our own church, for us as a church. This is written for us. It is written for us. Daniel chapter 10. God, this is recorded. It's not just history. Paul says, now Paul is a historical figure, but when he wrote that, it applies to us today. Is it applied to the Corinthian church? Is it applied to the early church as they read these? In 2 Peter chapter 3, let me turn there. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. God has made known the future of his church right here. What God has spoken will come to pass. Will we be in prayer? Will we be in prayer? Our life is not a picnic, but a battleground. The devil is a powerful opponent to us. In our own strength and knowledge, we are not able to stand against him. He says, be strong and fear not. We have God. Romans 8:31, the Apostle Paul writes, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? When evil does its worst, God's strength and his word is given that we may stand. Verse 19, he says, beloved, fear not, peace, be strong, and I will strengthen. This is where prayer will take you, where it will take me, where it will take the church. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and through 11 and verse 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. God wants his church standing and bold in the days ahead. Matthew 16:18 says, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Listen, the gates of hell shall not be victorious against my church. We see that Daniel was given a vision and the reality of demonic forces. We need to know that same struggle takes place today, and God has 2/3 of the angels fighting on our behalf. Daniel prayed. In our time and in all that is happening, in the face of an overwhelming situations, unbearable trials, frustrating difficulties, we can pray. We are to pray always. Paul says in Ephesians 6:18 that we are to pray always with all kinds of prayer, but we tend to pray rarely. Daniel prayed for a nation and a covenant people. God only needs a mustard seed of faith from us, and he will multiply. Ask him for nations, for rulers. This warfare is fierce and long. In Romans chapter 8, verses 35, 37 through 39. Let's read this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, Paul, even here in the book of Romans, he goes back and he says that these principalities, these powers, these present things, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. God has his hand upon us. He calls us to pray. The day is coming when the King of Glory will come to claim his kingdom. May we be counted among them. Amen.